And all scripture should be familiar scripture if we read our Bibles like we ought to. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." Now when it says hard by it, it means exactly by it, right by it, butting up next to it. And in verse number 2 it says, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs." Boy, don't that sound like some sort of environmental naturalist nut. Wants to turn his vineyard into a garden of herbs. I get about sick of all this herb stuff. All these people running around sucking on raisins until they look like a prune, and yet they still keep a croup all the time. Drives me crazy. All these herbs and this naturalist stuff drives me nuts, out of my mind. They're environmentalist wacko nuts that worship the creation more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what Paul had to say about it in Romans chapter 1. All right, he says, "Now, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give it thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money." And Naboth said unto Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab came into the house, handy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. Here he was whining and pouting about the situation that was at hand, like a little baby there. Kid, here he is, the king of the nation of Israel, and he's laying on his bed pouting over whether or not Naboth will give him a vineyard. Ridiculous. Verse number 5, "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him." Jezebel will fix it, won't she? "And said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and to set two men, sons of Belial, before him." That means sons of wickedness or sin or the devil. "And let them bear false witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders of the nobles who were of the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. It came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, and that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take the possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. It came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Being correctly read, that is 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. Now, this passage of Scripture tells us of the time that evil King Ahab sought to have Naboth's vineyard, even though Naboth did not have it for sale. He told him, I will not give thee my vineyard. That's what Ahab said that he told him in verse number 6. He said that Naboth answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. He said, it is not for sale. It was convenient to the palace that Ahab and Jezebel lived in there at the foothills of Jezreel. And Ahab had a spectacular place, and it stood out over the edge of the mountain, and he had a panoramic view of all the valleys there in the northern part of Israel, just south of Samaria where his palace was. And then right up against him in the valley of Jezreel was this a vineyard that Naboth owned and had planted and been cared for and had inherited from his father. Every morning, oh Ahab would get up and walk out in his garden of herbs and to look out through there and sit down in his park bench and he'd look across the valley of Jezreel and he'd say, this whole valley is mine. Everything's out there is mine. Until he looked to his left and there'd be the grapes. And the grape vineyard that old Naboth had. And it made old Ahab sick that he didn't own the grape vineyard. It made him angry. He wanted that vineyard to plant his garden of herbs in so he could walk through and suck his herbs up his nose as he smelled of the pretty smells in the flower garden out there. And he said, man, I've got to have that. I've got to have that grape vineyard. So one morning while he was sitting there thinking that, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll get up and go down there and see if Naboth will send it to me. I'll give him what it's worth. I'll even confiscate a vineyard from somebody else if he wants me to. And I'll let him have that vineyard if he wants it. I'll make it right with him, but I want his vineyard. And he goes down there and he tells him that. Naboth refused to sell. He refused to sell to Ahab to make an environmental wildlife and herb preserve out of his garden of grapes. And he said, I will not sell. He said, it's an inheritance. My father farmed this land. And my father lays grapes here. I'll not give you this vineyard. It's more than just a piece of ground. This is my inheritance. This is territory that I will not and cannot sell. I'll hold on to it till death do us part. And after pouting some by Ahab, Jezebel went to work on the situation. Ahab said, oh, Naboth got a vineyard and he won't give it to me. And Jezebel said, buddy, that ain't no trouble for me. And says, it ain't no trouble for you. You get up and eat you something. I'll put you some nice clothes on and feel good. I said, I'll take care of this situation. And she took his king, his ring, and the king's ring, and she sealed letters and sent them to the men of Naboth's city and said, set up a fast. And you make Naboth the honored guest. And then have two men to lie about him and say that he blasphemed God and the king. And then stone him for his blasphemy. And then we'll have the vineyard. They did so. And then they had the vineyard. But the Bible says when they got the vineyard, Ahab took possession of it. A vineyard that was not for sale. But then the word of the Lord came in the eyes of the Tishbite saying, arise and go down and meet Ahab, the king of Israel. And said, it's a Naboth vineyard. And said, this is what I want you to tell it. And Ahab saw Elijah. And Elijah got there and Elijah told him exactly what God said. God said in the same place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth. So by that wall of the vineyard, so are they also going to make up your blood. A dog's going to make your blood just like it. Let's have Naboth's blood. And son, if you'll follow the lives of Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab died as a coward in battle. And they found him just as a sword right in between his shoulder blades, the money's in the battle. And he's hidden in my friend disguised as somebody else. And the dogs picked up his blood. Oh, Jezebel fell out of her balcony. And the Jehu ran over with his chariot, trampled her under feet. Went inside, sat down, ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And told his boys to go out there and look where Jezebel is. And bury her, and they come back. And said there's nothing left of her but the palms of her hands and the straw of her head. He said this is the fulfillment of prophecy of the Elias of the Tishbite said. And the dogs are going to lick your blood in the same place where they licked up Naboth's blood. So he came back to get him. He came back to bite him. How about this morning? I don't want to concentrate on what happened to Ahab and Jezebel. And I don't want to concentrate on what happened with Elijah. And I really don't want to concentrate on them killing on Naboth. I want to stay right there in the first few verses of chapter 21 of the book of 1 Kings, where Ahab comes to Naboth and says, I want the vineyard. And Naboth said, the Lord forbid me. It is not for sale. I will preach this morning on this subject. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. I don't know about you in your life, but there are some areas in my life
For I set up stakes long time ago. I sold me some corner posts in the ground. And hung my flag of property on it. And put a sign up for the devil to let him know that this land is not for sale. It does not belong to you. It's not your territory. And it's not for sale. You can't have it for any amount of money. You can't have it for any amount of fame. You can't have it for any amount of popularity. There's nothing you can do to get it. I'll not let you have it. I've taken out some territory. This ground belongs to God. I've donated it to the Lord. And it is not for sale.
I tell you, if you don't want to lose everything you've got, every great piece of ground you've got, everything in your life that you own, every peace that you have in your heart, every bit of joy and happiness that you have in your soul, you better shake it off and let the devil know it is not for sale. And when Jesus called the church in Asia, he said, hold fast to that which thou hast, and let no man take my crown. If you're not careful, the devil will rip everything you've got out of you. He'll steal you up, you crab! And if I said to all you, that they coming up but for to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have love and have it more abundantly. You better set you up some stakes this morning and let the devil know that there's some things that just not for sale.
Some things in your life that's just not for sale. I want to say here this morning with Oda and Naboth that my heritage is not for sale. He said, this is my inheritance. I got this from my mom and dad. I inherited this ground from grandpa and grandma. And from mom and dad. And I'll not sell it for any amount of money. I'll say this morning, I wouldn't sell my Christian heritage for $10 million. Three ladies in an old-fashioned Christian household. That's worth more than money to buy. I wouldn't go back and start over again. I look for my sin, I wouldn't care. If I had a wish that could be fulfilled today, and I could wish that I could go back as a child and be raised in a rich family and be raised with every amenity that life can provide, and I live in a marble castle somewhere and have 1,000 servants to wait on me hand and foot, I wouldn't trade my Christian heritage. And I'd bring it from down just in Georgia. Where God the Holy Ghost left in our home for anything in the whole world. That Christian heritage is not for sale. I'll tell you, I was raised in the old fashioned Christian way, and I'm not telling you that. I don't wish to change any of that. I was in this time when I was younger. I was delighted to us. And that no curse we didn't dress like other kids. And my hair went long like the other boys was. And we didn't wear that for some earrings and stuff around the house. And the sisters didn't run around looking like boys. And I didn't wear a pen of coal by some other boys did. And things are different in our household. They're talking about the rock and roll singers. And I wouldn't even know who they're making reference to. And that monk is in my house. And there's times when I wouldn't have gone. Things have been different around home. But today I wouldn't take $10 million for that old fashioned Christian upbringing. But if we ever had to leave me raised in a Christian home, a Christian parents that love me, and that goddamn mercy on my soul, I'll tell you, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. I'll not forsake that old town Christian heritage today. I'll not fucking try to tell you how terrible mom and dad was today. I'll tell you, I thank God for hell I was raised. I thank God for all the things we've had in the living room. I thank God we still gather around the old fireplace and sing the songs of Zion and the joys and have served and let us praise for the Christian and a goodly heritage. And when mom and dad pass the way of God, let me live longer than they do. They won't leave me a huge trust fund worth millions of dollars, and they'll not leave me some a great piece of land somewhere or another, 50,000 acres or something. And they'll have a bundle of money somewhere or another. I set up, and they're not paupers, but they're not wealthy either. And that day comes around, there might be $10 million plus three of them charge over. And I'll see them, they'll not be alone. I may be financially, but I'll never have to stick around. Woo! I wonder if they're where they live when they die. If I'll ever see mom and dad again. If I'll ever get to fellowship with them again. I'll have a heritage. I've got a godly heritage. A godly heritage. I thank God for my Christian heritage. And that heritage gives me hope. And it's not for sale. Oh, God, money this morning. Amen. Nabal said, God forbid for me to sell this. This is my inheritance. This is my heritage. I wouldn't sell it for any amount of money. I see as a child growing up, I saw daily Bible reading. I saw regular church attendance. I saw the importance of separation from the world. I saw the joy that there is in being a child of God. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. It is not for sale. I've staked off that territory, told the devil, that's off limits for you, brother. That land is not for sale. If you get on it, you're an intruder. You're a trespasser. You are the enemy. Amen. That's exactly right. Sure. And so my heritage this morning is not for sale. I'll say this morning as well. Although my heritage is not for sale, I'll say this morning, my home is not for sale. My home is not for sale. You see signs all over the place. Home for sale. I'll tell you, my home is not for sale. I might sell my house, but my home is not for sale. And the relationship between my wife and I, and my companion and I, is not for sale. My children this morning are not for sale. My clean conscience. About my family responsibilities, it is not for sale. I want my little girl to experience the same old-fashioned Christian values as they shown. I want her to know the same heritage that I've known, Brother John. I want her to know the same joy in being an old-time Christian that I have experienced. And no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of popularity, no amount of acceptance, no public office. It's worth selling my heritage. It is not for sale. I don't want the motherland to know. I don't want the world to know. I don't want the neighbors to know. And my home is not for sale. Hey, listen, you need to stake down in your home, in your life, Mama. You need to stake down in your home, and it is not for sale for any amount of money. It is not for sale for any good-looking man that can speak sweet things in your ears. It is not for sale for any fulfilling career. I'll tell you, there's never been a corporate ladder worth climbing to destroy your children for. There has never been a career worth sacrificing your young ones. Hey, you need to stake down in your heart the territory for your home. Tell the devil to get out. You trespass it on God's property. And take your home for the honor and glory of God. I'll say you need to tell the devil, that's not for sale. Tell the boss man your home's not for sale. I'll tell that little hussy, tell the strength that lives by you and wakes her at you, that it is not for sale. Shake off that territory. Tell the devil to get out of there. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Take it! For God's honor and glory! It's your home! It's your responsibility! It's up to you between you and God! Follow my Lord! Take your road! Take the lead in the altar! Take your family in the way of God! And let the devil know it is not for sale!
Not for sale. Not for sale. Children, you need to tell them yahoos that's always telling you at school how stupid you are for living the way your mom and dad says, and obeying their rules and abiding under their authority. You tell them do what they will, that you're going with Jesus anyhow. You tell the devil this morning that that ground is not for sale. And 20 years from now, while they're sitting around in a divorce court and their family torn all to pieces, sucking on a bottle of Jack Daniels, trying to look for an ancient hip in the soul, you can sit back with joy in your soul and peace in your heart and know that everything's right in your home, everything's right between you and God. And you surely make the right decision, the right move. You'll never regret doing the right thing. You'll never regret obeying God. You'll never regret trusting Him. So today is the day to take that off. Put your station of hang a flag on it. Put the sign out to tell the devil, this property is not for sale.
Amen.
For no amount of money,
and no amount of fame. Nothing you could offer to trade. I won't accept another vineyard. I will not accept another place. I will not accept an equal amount of money. It is not for sale. Somebody said, Naboth was stupid. Ahab was going to give him the market worth of it. Ahab would have given him another vineyard that had been just as good or better. Yeah, that's what the devil always tells you. Every time he wants to take your territory, he'll say, oh, this is better. What I'm giving you in return is going to be better. What I'm giving you in return is going to be much of God now. And when you get it, you'll figure out that it's not better. Last night, man, Evan and I was playing Monopoly, and I got kind of tired because both of us had bought up all the property, and neither of us had a Monopoly yet, and I said, this thing's going to go on all night long. And so I traded him a couple of properties. I had to get a couple more so both of us could have two Monopolies. And I said, well, I'll give him some that's probably worth more. But I figure he'll land on mine more often. And so it'll be just as good. But when I went bankrupt, it wasn't just as good. You know, that's what the old bitter man will do to you. He'll do you just like Aaron will do you. Amen. He'll take what you've got, give you something in return. And it won't be as good. And it won't be as much. And it won't be the joy. And it'll leave you sitting bankrupt. How will you have your hands? We've been in a wonder what we're wrong. And then listen, you haven't ever sold out. You better take off your whole territory and say, this is not for sale. I can't swap lives like I can change shoes. It's not that simple. Thou shalt rent me more than a dollar and a dime. I'm telling you, we better take that off. We better take off our home from the devil out of the vengeance. And it's for the glory of God. And know it's not for sale anymore. Not for sale, not for sale. How much would you take for it, preacher? Don't matter how much I take for it. It ain't for sale. It ain't for sale. It ain't for sale. A fellow one day had been watching for some time the farm down there my dad's granddaddy owns. They had drawn him up a subdivision for it off the plat of that property where my granddaddy owns the farm. And he rode out there and looked where the chicken houses was and dreamed about bulldozing them things down and putting up a subdivision there. Maybe keeping 10 or 12 acres out for himself and living on the edge of that thing. And he had a great fire flying up and he thought, man, there's no way this old guy can refuse the dollar that I'm going to give him for this place. And it's got to be 100 times more than what he gave for it. And he'll be tickled to death to sell it. And he had his plans already worked out, blueprints set up for the houses and everything. And he was ready to go with it. As soon as he bought, he was ready to go. He was ready to bulldoze the place down and build the roads and build the development. And he said to him, how much would you want to sell that piece of property for? I said, I'll make you a good offer. Now, granddaddy said, it's just not for sale. He said, oh, no, man, everything's for sale. I said, I'll give you twice what it's worth. He said, you didn't hear me, son. It's not for sale. That's been nearly 20 years ago. And I'll tell you today, it's still got the chicken houses on it. And as far as I know, it's not for sale. You need to do that in your home. And in my family, your heritage. You need to take some places off and tell the devil and tell the world, it doesn't matter if you give us 10 times the market value of this. It is not for sale. It's not for sale. I'll tell you, my heritage is not for sale. My home is not for sale. I want to say this morning, the house of God is not for sale. The house of God is not for sale. Amen. The church is worth more than any amount of money. This church is worth more than any amount of popularity in town. There's not enough airtime on the TV or the radios. There's not enough prestige amongst the religious society or the local ecumenical mission group as to make me want to sell out the values and the principles of the church. I'll tell you, our manner of work is not for sale. A lot of folks have laughed at the way that we've begun to work here. We haven't had a bunch of yard sales and donut sales and bake sales and candy sales and car washes and garbage sales and all the rest of that trash. We haven't had a bunch of spaghetti suppers and trying to raise money. We've just depended on God and trusted in God's people to give their tithes and offerings. And other churches that have tithes as a mission. nation. And God provided the need through His people. And somebody's going on, preacher. If you've just got a building program going on, you got to have your fundraiser. And surely if we do that, we'll get plenty of money here. I wouldn't care if you raised $50 million. God brought us to this point through the tithes and offerings to help people. And He'll pay this roof off that away. And He'll pay that addition off that away. He's not took care of us so far like that. And He'll keep on doing it that way. I'm not approaching in Krispy Kreme. I'm to make it to next week at the church house. I'm approaching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sure will be the need of His people and His church. And the devil can know that it is not for sale for any amount of money. It's not for sale. I'll tell you, our manner of worship is not for sale. I feel like preaching now. I'll say this morning, our method of worship is not for sale. Amen. I'm going to the church at the place where shouting is still in order. Amen. Somebody said, oh, preacher, if y'all get loose from that old-fashioned way of worship, can't get you a bunch of choir robes and let the preacher put a dress on and start running down all the standards down there and cut out all that old sound that's going and raising your hands and all for praying. Don't fill a church up. That wouldn't be so scary to folks. I'll tell you, let them get scared to death if they won't. But my method of worship is not for sale. I want my little girl to grow up in an old-fashioned sound church. And my method of worship is not for sale. Amen. Play for sounds in order. I think it's a place where singing's under control. I appreciate the way our singing works around here. I thank God for the way that Brother Tom and Sister Tom handled it. Thank God. I'm glad the music is under control. I'm not going to some church where they got some long haired hippie bunch, earrings dangling from their ears, nerves hanging out of their gums, big bunch of teeth and stick front, hair down the back with all kind of crazy looking t-shirts on, beating the fire of some drum somewhere, screaming and hollering, and saying that's gospel music. I ain't got nothing to do with the gospel, and it ain't music either one. I thank God for a place where we got old fashioned singing. Amen. Thank God for a place where the music is under control. I like a drum. I like some big guitars and the piano, but I like them played for God's honor and glory and not for somebody else to get a piece over how good they're doing on it. Amen. Or how good they think they're doing on it. I'll tell you something else. I appreciate a place where singing time's under control. I've been places inside a place. Just sing 5 minutes or 12 every Sunday and then get upset because you preach past 12 o'clock. I thank God for a place where God sent us a minister of music that'll get done in time to give you a little while to preach the word of God to God's people. And I'll tell you, that is not for sale. This modern method of worship says, let's get us some music to motivate the praise. Let's sing it to about 5 or 12. Give a 2-minute sermon and a 5-minute altar call. I know somebody will always go to the house. I'll tell you, our method of worship is not for sale. I thank God for all person services where we sing, we preach, and we pray, and we testify about saying that. And it is not for sale. It's not for sale. Well, thank God for a place of sounds in order. Singing's under control. Sparing is common. The day testimonies go out of our churches, the day our church is dead as a hammer. Some of you ain't testified 6 months. You know why? You're dead. You're dead, 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 dead. The reason why folks don't testify what God's done for them is they are dead, void of worship. I tell you, you'll express it somehow. If it's a tear running down your cheek, if it's a word to say, if it's a shout, you'll give an expression, a testimony. And some man, you'll stand up every once in a while, stand on your feet, and just want to say, I'm glad God saw fit to save me out of sins of this world. I'm born to the family of God. I'm born again. My name's written in heaven. Hallelujah, the devil keeps take what's in my heart away. I'm born again by the grace of God. Don't let the world know every once in a while. Don't let the church know. Don't take all that territory and testify the grace of God. Amen. Testify the grace of God. Amen. I'll tell you, our method of worship is not for sale. House of God where I worship is not for sale. The method of worship is not for sale. The manner of work is not for sale. I'll say this morning, The message of this word is not for sale. If you'll avoid topics A, B, and C, preacher, and not preach on them no more, the crowds will grow. Quit preaching on seed and tithing, and the crowds will grow. Amen. Stop preaching so much on hell, damnation, and judgment, and the crowds will grow. The offerings will get bigger. Conversely, when the crowds grow and the offerings get bigger, your paycheck will get bigger. So if you'll just quit preaching on those things, you'll make more money out of it, preacher. You'll be better set than the communities. Folks will like you and all your people better if you'll just quit preaching like you do and quit doing like you do and y'all let down them old-time standards.
Right.
Why don't you quit talking about the way folks dressed out the house of God made them wrong? Let them just come as they are and do whatever they want to do. Now your church will grow a lot smaller that way, preacher. You heard all I'm saying, man. I imagine on the way as they walked out towards the wilderness one day, Jesus had been in the temple and he cast a demon out of this young man in Matthew chapter 12, and they said he cast out that devil by the name of Beelzebub. And Jesus said, how can a man cast out devils by the name of the prince of devils? For a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Or to come into desolation, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But he said, I'd cast them out in my own name, he said. And then he said, how else how can one enter into a strong man's house and take his goods except first he bind the strong man, then he can spoil his house? And you know what they said? We don't like the way he's a preaching. We don't like the way he's a doing. He called them a generation of vipers and hypocrites, mighty sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And then they said, get out of town, get out of here. You can't stay in the church no longer, the Son of God. And they run him out of town. I've seen some of the disciples following him out there saying, now, Jesus, if you tone your message down a little bit, folks would be more apt to listen to what you had to say. If you quit preaching against them Pharisees, they'd like you a little better. Quit talking about their sins. And they wouldn't try to kill you so much. I'm just imagining what kind of response they got from the Lord Jesus. So when he got out there on the hillside, they turned around and 5,000 people had followed him out there. You know why? There's something worth finding in the wilderness. And Jesus was there. We tried to come on every other way in the world. And then folks in the house of God, the sacrifice that Jesus took. And it's time we preach the word of God. And it's been carried in the whole church of God. And as Jesus bring the crowds to the wilderness after he sees this. It's not our job to grow the church. It's our job to spread the gospel. It's his job to grow the church. We spread the gospel. He grows the church. He said, this is my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We've tried to do it our way, and all we've done is made a mess out of it in this church world. But God will build the church. Amen. I want the world to know it's not for sale.
Amen.
I'm not compromising the message of the gospel. It is not for sale. And it wouldn't matter to me. It wouldn't matter to me. Hey, listen, they told me the first chapter started over here. It was first getting this church started over here, but you remember. Fella called me up and says, I tell you what, y'all ain't never gonna make it up there. You ain't got about four people. Says, you ain't never gonna make it. The church will never survive. He says, forget it, you'll never make it.
Right.
Says, we got a few folks over here. Says, we've been going now for about 10 years. And says, we got some folks that really got some good money now. Says, we got 40, 50 people, so we really got some folks that's got some good money. And our offerings is running $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a Sunday. And says, we'll put you full time if you'll come over here and just bring your folks with you. And says, just come over here with us and we'll put you full time. And says, we already got a building here and we gotta pay for it. I said, we'll give you $35,000, $40,000 a year and a car to drive. At the time I was making $13,500. It's kind of like a real deal as far as money's going. And man, I thought, man, that's got to be a whole lot of money. I'll be rich in 6 months. There ain't no way I can turn that down. And I start to pray for it. And man, I tell you, it didn't take me 2 minutes to get an answer. I called him back and I said, sir, my ministry, my preaching, my church is not for sale. I'll go the way of God if there is the devil and the whole world despises it. And the world thinks it's crazy. I'll go the way of God as a means of peace and container the rest of my life before I'll tell the message of God. It is not for sale.
Not for sale. Not for sale. We got started. It hadn't been going 6 months. We had some folks that was coming along. They said, preacher, says, I don't like the way it is. You always preach on everything that's going on out here. I preached a prayer to such and such church, and I couldn't call the name of it, but I wouldn't do it. All through the yellow belly, I ought to preach against something. Amen. They said, that preacher won't preach against this. We can go up there, he don't say nothing about it. You need to do something. I said, you're talking to the wrong fella. You need to go talk to him and leave me alone. He's the one that needs to straighten up, thank God. And I'm just going to keep right on preaching. You better know it's right. I'm not a changing for nothing or nobody. I'm not a giving in, giving out, giving up. I'm not a quitting preaching the way I've been preaching for nearly 13 years now. God said it's right. And I wouldn't preach if I didn't have liberty from the Holy Ghost. And some just go preach and tell the devil that pulpit, that Bible, that sermon is not for sale. The church is not for sale. This is God's territory. He's an intruder. By saying he is trespassing. And it's time for the galley. Not for sale. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. Well, this morning, you need to take off some territory. There's something in your life worth more to you than anything in the whole world that the devil would love to have. You need to take off some territory and tell him, I don't care what you come with. It is not for sale at any price. If it means that I have to give my life for it like Naboth did, I'll die standing my ground in my vineyard. And even if I die, at the moment of death, it's still not for sale. Amen. I'm done preaching. You can come with a sign. There are some things in this world, my friend, that should never be sold for any price. Those things are precious enough that the devil of the world, like Ahab, would like to take it from you. But you ought to fight them with all your might and make it absolutely clear that it's not for sale. Let's take you off some ground. There's some things worth fighting for. The peace that I have in my heart knowing I'm right with God this morning is worth fighting for, and it is not for sale at any price. I wouldn't trade the peace that I have in my heart knowing that I know Jesus and He knows me for anything in the whole world. It's not for sale. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody or anything. There's no amount of money on this earth worth going to hell for. There's no amount of money. There is no job, no prestige, no house, no car, no woman, no man on earth worth going to hell for. I tell you, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. My home is not for sale. My heritage is not for sale. The house of God is not for sale. I'm taking off some territory. You need to take off some territory in your life this morning. Tell the devil, get out of there. He's an intruder and a trespasser. Get out. It's not for sale. You need to do business with God. You've got to sin with us.
Page number 362.
You need to come. Come on, from your mom and dad. Don't grab one of them by the hand. Get your daughter. Tell the devil, I'm home. It's not for sale.